Title of my sermon this morning is The Christian Prayer Life. There are some who believe that becoming a Christian means relinquishing joy and embracing a life of barrenness, monotony, and sorrow. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Amen? The Christian life is filled with profound privileges that the unbeliever can never experience. As believers, we have the immense privilege of turning to the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate its truths and to minister to our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 105 declares, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We have the privilege of gathering in worship, hearing the gospel preached, and being encouraged in faith. Hebrews 10, 25 exhorts us, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Christians enjoy the fellowship of the finest people on earth, God's children. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have the privilege of giving our time, our talents, and our treasures so that others may come to know Christ as their Savior as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8 states, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Church, we get to serve in the only army that will always be victorious. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 37 proclaims, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." But perhaps the greatest privilege that we have is the ability to commune with God through prayer. Amen? Jesus assures us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." See, it's a tragic day in the life of a Christian when our prayer is neglected. To abandon prayer is to sever our lifeline with the Almighty. It's like taking a blank check and ripping it up. Because by doing so, we're refusing the limitless resources that God Himself has made available to us. It's like being handed the keys to the storehouse filled with God's divine provision and carelessly tossing it away. See, prayer is not just a religious duty. Prayer is our direct line to the throne of grace, the very conduit through which God's power flows through us into our lives. Without prayer, we are powerless, wandering through this life disconnected from the strength and wisdom that God so freely gives to each and every one of us. Amen? But when we do pray, we lean into the power and presence of God, and then everything changes. So surely a believer's greatest strength is found in prayer. The believer who prays is 1,000 times stronger than the believer who does not. Do we believe that this morning? It is through prayer that heaven moves and the forces of darkness are pushed back. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees in submission and in fellowship with the Most High. Hallelujah. See, prayers have changed the course of history. Kingdoms have been won, souls have been saved, churches have been built, and lives have been radically transformed because of prayer. The sick have been healed. The prodigals have been restored because of prayer. Homes have been renewed, marriages mended, and broken hearts made whole through prayer. Countless miracles, both seen and unseen, have been wrought by the faithful prayers of God's people. And so if we truly understand the power of prayer, then church, we would never neglect it. Instead, we would run to the Father daily, knowing that through prayer, we step into the supernatural and take hold of the extraordinary. And many, many marvelous things have been wrought by prayer. So what does the Bible promise about prayer? Well, when it comes to prayer, the Bible offers us incredible promises, and one of the most powerful being the forgiveness of sins. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Every day we sin. Every one of us, whether by omission or commission. Something is always coming between us and God, hindering our relationship with Him. But how can we remove sin from our lives? Well, the answer lies in prayer. Coming to God, confessing our sins, and asking for His forgiveness. And when God forgives us, He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. What a wonderful promise. And we see that in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Somebody else get excited. What an incredible promise. You do realize, church, that if you ever start heading east, you never start heading west, right? So we understand how awesome that promise is, that when He forgives us, that's how far He removes our sin. We see in the Scripture that David, he was a man after God's own heart, but he still sinned greatly against God. But when he was confronted by Nathan, David's heart, it broke and he lost the joy of his salvation. But we see that David regained peace and joy through humility, confession, and praying for forgiveness. And we can hear this prayer in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. And so did God answer this prayer? Yes. God answered the prayer and restored David to the joy of his salvation. Psalm 51 is a powerful prayer of repentance. And once David was restored, he was able to sing with joy in Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Hallelujah. The Bible also promises wisdom through prayer. We live in a world full of confusion and uncertainty, and the need for wisdom has never been greater. Each day, it brings its own challenges, and we must make decisions that affect our lives and the lives of others. Amen? Amen. And yet, God promises that He will guide us through all of it if we will simply call upon Him. James chapter 1, verse 5 encourages us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen? When it comes to prayer, the Bible also promises healing. I believe in divine healing, but I do not support the idea of the professional divine healer. Amen? See, I've seen God answer prayers for healing in miraculous ways, especially when the doctors have given up hope. I've witnessed the power of prayer restore health, strength, and vitality according to God's will. God is still a God of miracles today because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 tells us, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God also promises through our prayer the provision for our needs. And God's provision is not just material, it includes His peace. And that peace transcends all human understanding. In the midst of life's struggles, we can experience the peace of God that guides our hearts and our minds. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So church, we do not need to worry about what we will eat and what we will wear, because God knows our needs and He will meet them if we will simply trust in Him. He promises to provide for us as we seek His kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day, is its own troubles. Finally, the Bible promises to answer covenant prayer. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on the earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I got one amen. Church, are you carrying a heavy burden this morning? If so, find somebody to pray with, to agree with, and don't stop praying until God gives His answer. Amen? See, we need prayer warriors, those who will fight for others on their knees, praying with fervor and with faith. In all these areas, prayer connects us to the promises of God. Through prayer, we receive forgiveness, wisdom, healing, provision, and the power of agreement. So let us embrace this incredible gift of prayer and the abundant life that God promises to those who seek Him with a humble and sincere heart. Amen? Amen. And when we pray, we can be confident that God always answers. However, His answers may come in one of three ways. The first way that God can answer is with a yes. And this is the answer that we long for, the one that fills our hearts with joy and gratitude. So when God says yes, it is time for us to fall on our knees in praise and in thanksgiving, recognizing His faithfulness and His provision. Amen?
Amen.
The second answer He could give us is no. And though that's not the answer we always expect or desire, this is often the wisest option. When God tells us no, it's because that He knows what is truly best for us. His understanding far exceeds our own, and He sees the bigger picture. He sees what we may not be able to see in the moment. So trusting in God's no is an act of faith, knowing that He has our best intentions at heart. And the third answer we can receive is wait a while. There are times when God's answer will wait. And church, this can be a challenging answer, especially when we feel the urgency of our request. But God's timing is perfect, amen? And sometimes, if we're being honest with ourselves, we're simply not yet ready to receive what we ask for. In waiting, God is preparing us, growing our faith, and helping us become the person that He wants us to be. But no matter what the answer is, God answers every true prayer. His responses are always filled with wisdom, love, and a deep desire for our ultimate good. So the Bible is full of promises regarding prayer. And one of the most beautiful is that God's ear is always open to our pleas. His heart is always receptive to our cry. Psalm 34:17 reassures us, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Church, we serve a God who listens. We serve a God who responds. And most importantly, we serve a God who is always present, ready to meet us where we are. Amen? So let us continue to seek Him in prayer, trusting that His answers will always be for our good, for His glory, and for our growth in faith. So why do we pray? Well, we pray to receive from God. Does that statement shock you this morning? Some might say, that sounds selfish. Prayer should simply be about our relationship and not asking for things. And while it's absolutely true that prayer is about communion with God, the Bible also encourages us to ask for what we need. Over and over, the Scripture commands us to bring our request before God. If you study the prayers in the Bible, you're going to notice how much asking there actually is in those prayers. Consider the model prayer that we examined 2 weeks ago. It is contained in just 5 verses, yet within those verses, there are 6 specific requests, from asking for our daily bread for the calling for God's kingdom to arrive here on earth. And as loving parents, there's nothing within our ability that we wouldn't provide for our children when they ask. And Jesus reassures us the Father's generosity in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? We pray to prevent worry. Most people live in a constant state of anxiety, worrying about everything. And if that's you this morning, I would say you may not be praying enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 commands us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God. Church, we are not called to carry the burden of worry. Amen? We are called to bring everything before God in prayer. Yet too often we hold on to our worries instead of surrendering them at the feet of Jesus. Worry is not just an emotional burden. It is a sign of a lack of trust and a lack of faith in God. When we worry about the future, we doubt God's promises. And church, worry is the opposite of faith. John Wesley once said, I would no more worry than I would curse or swear. That's a powerful statement, amen? Consider the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Isn't that far better than worry? God has already promised to take care of His children. So instead of carrying anxiety, Scripture commands us to cast our cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon you, or upon Him, for He cares for you." See, God cares about us. He is not distant or indifferent. He is actively involved in our lives, ready to carry our burdens if we will simply put our trust in Him through prayer. If you lay down a burden, don't pick it back up. Amen? We pray to stay close to God. A strong prayer life keeps us in close fellowship with the Lord. Many believers, when they start their walk with God, His presence is felt intimately. They experience the joy of His nearness, but then something changes. God didn't move. We did. We get distracted and we let life's busyness take over. Soon we stop praying as much, and before we know it, God seems distant. And there's only one cure for this, and that is returning to God in prayer. Amen? 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 warns us, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ Jesus does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son." When we neglect our prayer lives, we begin to drift. But when we stay in prayer, we abide in Him and He abides in us. See, prayer is not just a habit. Prayer is a lifeline. It is how we remain connected to the very source of life, strength, wisdom, and peace. So let us not take this incredible privilege for granted. But instead, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that our God hears, He cares, and He answers. Amen? So why are our prayers not answered? Our prayers are not answered most of the time because they are simply not offered. Many prayers go unanswered simply because we've never prayed over those things. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot attain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Too many times we only turn to God in our desperation. When life is running smoothly, we forget about God, but when our troubles arise, then we cry out in distress. Why do so many people, so many Christians, treat God as the last resort instead of the first? When we carry troubles and burdens, we are more often to go to our family, our neighbor, our friend, before we go to prayer to God. Why? We need to run to the Father first, both in the good times and in the bad times. As the old hymn reminds us, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are you missing out on answered prayers simply because you have not brought those needs before God? Prayers are not answered sometimes because we pray with the wrong motives. James chapter 4, verse 3 warns us, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures." See, God looks beyond our words. He examines the motives behind our prayers. Amen? Before we pray, we should be asking ourselves two things. Why am I praying for this? And what will I do with the answer when it comes? Are we praying for good health so we can serve God, or just for our personal comfort? Are we praying for a better job so we can be a witness for Christ, or so we can just gain wealth? Are we praying for financial blessing but unwilling to be faithful in giving back to God? To God does not answer selfish prayers, but only to satisfy our desires. Amen? Our prayers must be aligned with His will, seeking His glory, not just our gain. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we're still harboring sin in our hearts. The psalmist declares in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I'm going to give that to you in the New Living Translation as well. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Unconfessed sin creates a barrier between us and God. Amen? Isaiah 59:2 confirms this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Church, let's be honest. Statistically speaking, there is somebody sitting in this church today with unconfessed and unrepentant sin in their life. And if that's you this morning, I urge you, do not leave this service, do not leave this building without making things right with God. Confess, repent, surrender. Don't let your pride or fear keep you from restoration. Amen? Sometimes our prayers are not being answered because we are not abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, verses 6 and 7 declares, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Answered prayer is the result of abiding in Christ. When we live in obedience to His word and remain connected to Him, He provides for our needs. But if we're living in disobedience, disregarding His commands, why should we expect Him to pour out His blessings? Stop living for yourselves and start living for Christ. If you're not abiding in Him, you're in rebellion. There's no other way to put it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 urges us the following. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want God's blessings, you must surrender to His will. Amen? And sometimes our prayers are not answered because they lack fervency. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered because they're too casual, lacking passion and persistence. Look at the example of the great men of faith in the Old Testament. Moses, he pleaded with God saying, answer my plea for Israel or blot me out of your book. Jacob wrestled with the angel and declared, I will not let you go until you bless me. How often do we pray with that kind of intensity? James 5:16b reminds us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So what burden are you praying for today? What change are you seeking? Are you truly fervent in your prayers or are they merely routine? And then sometimes our prayers are not answered because they lack faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 gives us a sobering truth. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Too often when we pray, we have doubt in our hearts. We hedge our bets saying, if it's your will, Lord. Not as an act of submission, but as an excuse to because of our lack of faith. We don't have to say, if it's your will, Lord. We know what God's will is because it is revealed in His Word. And if you're praying according to the Scriptures, then stand on God's promises. Stop doubting and pray boldly. Amen? And sometimes our prayers are not being answered because we are not submissive to God's will. Church, the Great Commission is not optional. It is a command to each and every believer. Yet many of us hesitate to fully surrender to God's calling. This morning, He may be calling you to serve in the church, to teach a class, to sing on the praise team, to witness to your neighbor, to establish a family prayer time and Bible study, or be faithful in tithing. But there is somewhere that God is calling you to be obedient. Amen? Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 18 challenge us. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. If you are resisting God's calling, do not be surprised if your prayers go unanswered. God is not silent. He is simply waiting for us to approach Him rightly. It is time for us to stop wondering why our prayers go unanswered and start praying in a way that moves heaven. Amen? This morning, let us reflect on the incredible privilege and power of prayer. Prayer is not merely a religious exercise. It is our direct line to the Almighty, the means by which we commune with our Creator, seek His will, and experience His transformative power in our lives. Throughout Scripture, we see the promises that accompany prayer, promises of forgiveness, wisdom, healing, provision, and divine intervention. We know that God answers every true prayer, whether it be yes, no, or wait. But no matter the response, we can trust His perfect wisdom and timing. But let us also remember that the barriers in our lives can hinder our prayers. Neglect, wrong motives, unconfessed sin, and a failure to abide in Christ. So if we desire a vibrant prayer life, we must approach God with humility, sincerity, and a heart fully surrendered to Him. So what is our response this morning? Will we continue to neglect this incredible gift? Or will we commit ourselves anew to the life of prayer? Let this be a call to action. Commit to daily prayer. Set aside time each and every day to seek God. Make prayer a priority and not an afterthought. Examine your heart. Remove any hindrances that may be blocking your prayers. Confess sin, align your desires with God's will, and seek His righteousness. Pray with expectation. Approach God with faith, believing that He hears and answers according to His perfect plan. Intercede for others. Become a prayer warrior for your family, for your church, and for the lost. Stand in the gap for those in need. Amen? Now let us take hold of the promise that we find in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Church, God is ready to move. Heaven's storehouse is full and is waiting to be poured out upon those who ask in faith. So will you rise up in prayer? Will you commit to seeking Him daily? Will you trust in Him fully? May we be a people marked by fervent prayer, walking in the power and presence of God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wondrous privilege that we have to come before you in prayer. Let us be a church that prays to you faithfully, that holds on to your promises. Father, this morning, if any of us are struggling with things in our lives that are keeping us distant and separated from you, may we set those aside. May we make those things right so that we can truly have fellowship with